Hallmark Channel presents The New York City Skyline. I know what's on your mind. Title, Very Very Valentine, The Streets of New York City. Credits, Danica McKellar, Cameron Matheson, Mary Long, Stephen Krogren, Andrea Runge. A Wedding.
We are gathered here today to celebrate the union of Jason and Mary. On this blessed day, they will both be asked to give their deepest selves into the tender care of the other. Marriage requires trust, not only in our partner, but in ourselves. Much like fortune, love too favors the brave.
A dark-haired woman watches the wedding, smiling. She turns and walks out. The exterior of All in Bloom flower shop decorated with pink hearts for Valentine's Day. The woman enters the shop and speaks to a gray-haired woman behind the counter.
Helen, there you are.
Sorry, Aunt Carol, I know I'm late.
Stuck around for the ceremony again, huh?
It was really beautiful.
Well, you're just in time. I've got 3 more orders for Wonder of Winter bouquets and 2 Thinking of Yous. Any eligible handsome young groomsmen?
No. But that nice Mr. Gregson catered the wedding. He says hello.
Helen strides to the back of the shop. Tying an apron around her waist, she erases the day from the whiteboard calendar and turns around with clasped hands, surveying the room. She picks up puffy blooms of white hydrangea and smiles at them. She busily trims and arranges them with tulips and pink roses.
I'd wanna call in sick. I always dreaded this time of day. But not anymore, cause of you, smiling you. Perfect you. Good morning, beautiful. I know it's gonna be a good morning, beautiful.
A tall man comes in and watches her arrange tall pink flowers in a vase.
The left side's a little upside.
No, it's not. Wait, my left or your left?
It's perfect, like always.
Did you come all the way across town just to tease me, Henry?
Well, I wouldn't put it past me, but no. I came by to give you that.
International Flower Selection Competition?
It's an entry form.
I know. Are you planning on competing?
No, you are.
Henry, I don't have a flower to enter.
What? Of course you do. Your mystery rose. Come on, Helen, you've been breeding roses for years, and this is the best thing you've ever done.
You're just saying that because you're my best friend.
No, I'm not. I'm saying it because it's true.
Maybe next year.
I kind of figured you might say that, so I already submitted it.
What?
Yeah, it's on its way. But you gotta fill this out, because they can't judge a submission without a name. Take a shot. Give that little guy a name.
Henry!
Henry's a great name. It's good! Think about it. Okay. Hey, we still have a lunch?
Hey, Helen. We just got an order for 3 more corsages.
Thanks, Beth.
You finally hired some extra help.
Yes. I might have to take a rain check on that lunch.
4 more.
A very long rain check.
Okay. See you later.
Sorry.
She cringes and Henry leaves. She looks at the form and shakes her head. Later, the lights turn off in the shop. Helen, Beth, and Carol look at a bush with pink rosebuds.
You'll get the hang of it. A couple weeks in the shop and you will be an expert.
So why is this called the mystery rose?
Because Helen has yet to name it.
This is one of yours?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a new rose exactly?
Oh, you cross-pollinate by hand. It's a lot of trial and error. You want to find flowers that complement each other. The right combination can produce something new and wonderful.
It has such a sweet scent. Almost like strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. It's also got a lot of pollen. I wanted to make it bee friendly.
Helen, you've made dozens of roses. It never takes you more than a day or two to name them.
I just haven't thought of one yet.
Well, if it doesn't have a name, it can't be considered for the International Flower Selection.
I see you've been talking to Henry.
International Flower Selection? What's that?
It's the Super Bowl of flower breeding.
Only the very, very best hybrids in the world are considered. I mean, people work their whole lives to create a rose worthy of selection. You can't just enter on a whim.
Well, I think you should do it. What's life without a little risk, Helen?
Yeah. What do you have to lose?
Helen's brow furrows. The sun rises over the city. Henry stands outside the shop holding cups of coffee. Helen rounds a corner.
Hey!
Hey!
What are you doing here so early?
I didn't want to catch you before I went to work.
Aw.
I have two questions for you.
No, I don't have a name yet.
That was actually the second one.
What's the first?
What are you doing tonight?
Flowers.
Maybe not. Check this out.
What is this?
It's an invitation. From the Brooklyn Metropolitan Art Gallery's annual black and white gala. They're hosting it this year at the Botanical Garden. And the garden's director, Mr. Carlisle, wants me to be there, answer any questions people might have about flowers or plants or whatever. And
tonight.
Wait, here, look. Look, I'm prepared. I already bought the masks. Come on. I look a little better in a mask, don't I?
You look like Zorro.
I'll take that.
I can't just show up to a masquerade ball, Henry, with one day's notice. I would need weeks to plan for something like this.
Weeks?
Yes, the dress and the shoes and the... You're a guy. You could just throw on a tux and look dashing.
Well, that's true.
She smiles.
Thank you. But I think I would just feel completely unprepared.
No, you keep that. And take this as well. The mask is in there for you. You're all just in case you change your mind.
What if you want to ask someone else?
I won't.
He leaves her blinking. She goes into the shop where Beth and Carol work.
You have an invitation to the black and white gala? Those are impossible to get.
Why didn't you tell me you had plans for tonight?
Because I don't. Henry just stopped by to invite me, but I told him I couldn't go.
Why not? You have to go. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, I haven't even finished the centerpieces for the Tyler wedding.
We can all pitch in. Together, we'll have it done in no time.
I don't have a dress.
My sister works at a boutique on 54th. The gowns are amazing. I can head over on my lunch break.
Then that's settled. Let's get you to that ball.
Carol points at Helen, who shrugs.
Okay.
The women arrange flowers.
So tell me about your date.
Oh, it's not a date.
Henry is Helen's good friend.
I'd say he's a great friend if he's got you tickets to the black and white gala.
Well, he is pretty great.
Have you known him long?
Oh, we met back in college. We were in the botany program together. He moved back to Montana after graduation, but we ran into each other a few years ago when he got a job at the Botanical Gardens.
That's one way to put it. Tell her about your reunion.
Beth's eyes fix on Helen.
I doubt she wants to hear about that.
I do.
She does.
Okay, well, all right, it was close to Valentine's Day, and this is important because you see how busy the shop can get?
Yeah.
So, we got an order for an arrangement, a baby announcement. One of those big wreaths with the bright blue flowers.
With the ribbon that says, it's a boy.
That's the one.
That same day, Henry's sister also called in an order, a congratulations bouquet for his first day on the job. Well, somehow, the orders got switched.
No, you showed up with the wrong one.
You can imagine his face when he saw that big blue wreath. He still teases me about it to this day.
Oh, I love that story.
They smile.
So you two never dated?
Nah. Nah, I think true love surprises you. Like a bolt.
Well, you of all people should know that a flower takes time to bloom.
Mom used to always say that from the moment she saw Dad, she knew he was the one.
Not every love story starts in the same way, huh?
I know, but I want mine too.
A large house.
How does it fit?
A white gown with black roses.
Oh, Helen, you look wonderful.
It's not too much.
You'll be the belle of the ball.
It's missing something, though. Maybe some longer earrings?
I know. I've got just the right thing. I stopped at home to pick this up. I had a feeling we might need it.
A silver necklace pendant.
It belonged to your mother.
I remember.
She opens the locket. Flowers inside.
It's beautiful. Are those for Scythia?
Gladiolus.
Named for the gladiators of Rome. It's a symbol of courage.
She fastens it.
And the perfect accessory for a night of adventure.
She was the bravest person I knew.
I see so much of her in you.
Really?
Really.
They stand looking at Helen in the mirror. Helen smiles and her fingers graze the necklace. An outdoor space filled with trees and lit with red and purple lights with fairy lights strung through them. Helen descends into this enchanted forest wearing her gown and a black wrap around her shoulders. Her eyes are wide. Men in suits and women in gowns flow under an illuminated archway into a ballroom where the partygoers wear only black and white and don masks over their eyes. She weaves her way past photographers and through the crowd. Couples waltz on the dance floor. Helen spots a tall man in a black face mask like the one Henry showed her, sipping a cocktail. She rushes to him.
Henry! Oh my gosh, there are so many people here I thought I'd never find you. What's wrong? Is it the dress? It's too much, isn't it?
No, actually, I was gonna say it's perfect.
She smiles tightly.
You're not Henry.
No, I'm afraid not.
I'm so sorry. Wrong masked man.
She continues through the party, looking around. Tall red candles burn in candelabras on the tables. A tall man in a black mask touches her arm.
Hey.
Henry?
Yeah, who else would it be?
Takes off mask.
Right.
I'm so glad you made it.
Me too.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. You look...
dashing?
Askew.
Oh. That's not what I was going for at all.
Hold still.
I feel like I should be playing accordion at my uncle's wedding. I mean, this is not my look.
You need to learn a little patience.
Really? Just forget. I think it's fine.
Adjusts his tie.
There. Perfect.
Yeah? Thanks.
They grin and look around.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm really here. It's a little surreal.
What do you mean? We've been to the gardens thousands of times. I mean, we had lunch right there last week.
Not here. Here. I mean, look around, Henry. We're surrounded by artists and debutantes, socialites.
Yeah. What's the difference? Between a debutante and a socialite? I mean, I've always wondered, is there really a difference?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's not the point. The point is, I feel so out of place.
Come on.
Everyone else is so accomplished, and I'm just Helen.
He holds a lacy black mask.
It's a masquerade ball. So tonight, you get to be anyone you want. And turn around.
He ties the mask around her head.
Okay. Let's see. Yes. And for the record,
puts on his mask.
I'm kind of partial to just Helen. You ready? Come on.
He offers his elbow.
You know what? I am so happy that you got the chance to sneak away because I know how busy you are this time of year.
Yeah. February in a flower shop is not for the faint of heart.
You of all people should know the importance of taking time to stop and smell the roses.
Did you really just do that?
That was a joke. Did you see that? It's a little botanist humor right there.
Very, very little.
Oh, hurts.
You know what? Aunt Carol was right. I mean, sometimes you have to just... step outside your comfort zone. You know, try new and exciting things.
Listen to you. Well, here is, to taking chances.
They toast glasses. They sip champagne.
Do you want to dance?
Do you promise not to step on my toes?
No, I cannot promise that. I can promise to try.
Okay, that's all I can ask.
Okay, come on.
But watch the dress, too.
See, now you're asking too much. I gotta, like, walk away from you. How's this? Oh, hi.
They face each other on the dance floor.
Henry? Henry.
Mr. Carlisle.
Hi, I'm sorry to interrupt. I need to see who you wait for a moment.
It's fine, it's fine. It'll give me a chance to go check out the silent auction.
Okay. Oh, you must. There's so many wonderful paintings on display.
Okay, so I'm not exactly sure how long this is going to take, but as soon as I'm done, I'll just come find you, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Go.
Okay. All right.
Henry and Mr. Carlisle leave Helen alone. She bites her lip and turns in a circle. Mr. Carlisle removes his mask.
It is critical that we make a very good impression. As for Ford, this man is a very savvy investor. If we can sell him on what we're doing here, we might be able to save the gardens.
Okay, Mr. Carlisle, I get that, but I do have to be honest with you, though. Since you Since you told me that the gardens are in financial trouble, I have been exploring other options.
With a little luck, you might not have to worry. Here we are. Mr. Gray, I brought you our top curator, a very talented botanist. This is Henry Hart. Henry, this is Andrew Gray.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure. This is my wife, Julie.
Oh, nice to meet you.
And really, the pleasure is mine. You run a really impressive operation here.
Thank you.
Henry's here to answer any questions you might have.
Of course.
Great.
We want to make sure you have every answer you need, big or small.
I may have a lot of questions.
Well, as long as it takes.
Mr. Carlyle looks at Henry, who nods slowly. Alone, Helen wanders through the paintings on display. For the silent auction, a bid sheet shows bids rising to $700 for one.
That's a no.
She continues through the paintings, pausing with her mouth open in front of one showing a woman and little girl in white dresses standing in a field of flowers, their hands touching. Helen glances at the bidding sheet. The man in the black mask passes behind her.
Are you going to make a bid?
Oh, it's you.
Please do not run away again, okay? I don't think my ego can actually handle it.
I'm sorry about that. I had thought that...
I was someone else. I know. I understand.
She turns back to the painting. He picks up the pen on the bidding sheet.
So?
He holds it to her.
Oh, I doubt it would hold up.
Doesn't hurt to try.
She takes the pen and writes a bid, smiling to herself.
My mother had a painting just like this when I was growing up. It was in a wooden frame above her desk.
Oh, she has great taste.
She was an artist. She traveled all over the world, painting the people and places she saw. She passed away when I was 10. And now I'm spilling out my heart to a stranger.
Well, I don't have to be. Stranger, that is. I'm...
a mystery.
Well, I admit the mask does most of the work, but...
No, your flower. It's a mystery rose.
Oh. I had no idea when I picked it up. The label was blank.
It's a special breed. You can't find it anywhere else.
Wow. Well, you seem to know a lot about flowers. Do you work for the Botanical Gardens?
Something like that.
Well, maybe you could show me some of your favorites. I would love to hear more.
I'm waiting for a friend.
Perhaps another time, then.
He walks away.
Wait.
He turns. She musters a smile.
I'd love to.
After you.
He beckons and she leads him away. They stroll through the garden.
So, why flowers?
Well, my father passed away before I was born, but he was a Navy man, sailed all over the world. When he and my mother were first dating, he would send her pressed flowers from every place he went. She kept them in this book. I used to flip through it every night before I went to bed. She would tell me stories about him and the flowers. Flowers have a language all of their own. They help us to communicate, connect.
How so?
Well, the yellow rose. It means friendship. And white traditionally represents sympathy, but it can also mean purity or innocence.
And what about these?
Purple conical blooms.
Oh, those are lavender.
And what do they represent?
Love at first sight.
He smiles.
I just realized something. I didn't ask your name.
I'd rather not say.
Why not?
Well, I just think that anonymity is part of the fun of a masquerade ball. I think it's kind of the point, right?
I can't argue with that. Okay, so no names.
You probably think I'm being silly.
No, I don't. Shall we?
They continue walking.
I just want to take this moment to thank the Botanical Gardens for hosting our gala. There are only a few minutes left in our silent auction.
All right.
So please, get your bids in.
Another woman writes a bid on the painting.
Oh, shoot.
What?
I've been outbid. You know, in the past, I might have conceded defeat. But not tonight. I'm winning that painting.
You better hurry.
Helen trots to the painting and frowns at the bid sheet.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
She looks at the painting again and writes her bid on the sheet. The woman who just bid sees her across the room.
There, I did it. Oh, she saw me. She's coming back.
I have an idea. Wait here.
He intercepts her.
Hey, hi. What's your name?
The director picks up the bid sheet.
I just want to say hi.
The woman sees the bid sheet go and her face falls. The mystery man returns.
Well.
It held.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, I know just where I'm going to hang it.
The band is back from break. We should celebrate. You care to dance?
Why not?
She takes his hand and he leads her to the dance floor. They face each other among the swaying couples.
Do you promise not to step on my toes?
Of course.
They clasp hands and she puts her other hand on his shoulder. They dance to the music.
You know, I almost didn't come tonight.
Really?
I find these events are often stuffy, just like conversation with strangers. You were a wonderful surprise.
He leans in to murmur in her ear, then twirls her around. They dance with faces close. A man in a suit appears behind them.
Time to go.
Oh, it's 9 already? I'm sorry, I have to go.
Go.
They're waiting for me. I didn't realize how late it was.
Wait, but...
It was a pleasure to meet you. Goodbye.
He leaves Helen open-mouthed on the dance floor. She sees the rose that fell from his buttonhole on the floor. She kneels and picks it up, watching him disappear through the archway of lights. Henry finds her and she stands.
There you are.
Henry, you wouldn't believe the night I've had.
Where were you? I looked for you at the auction, but...
Didn't you get my message?
Your message? No. Oh, my phone must still be at the coat check. Helen, I'm so sorry. You know, I invited you to this gala, and then I left you all by yourself.
That's the thing. I wasn't by myself. I met someone.
You met someone?
A man in a mask. I guess every man is wearing a mask. He was so charming, and we toured the gardens, and we danced, and...
Wow. Sounds like he really made an impression on you.
He did. He really did.
So, does this masked man have a name?
Of course he has a name. I just don't know what it is.
She gazes across the party. Later, she finds the director.
I would like to pick up painting number 43.
43?
Mother and daughter in a field of flowers.
Oh, that's already been collected.
But I won it. I was the last bid.
Your name?
Helen Russell.
Helen Russell. Oh, someone caught me as I was taking the clipboards up to the front. I'm sorry.
Helen's mouth opens and closes. Henry pats her shoulder and leads her away. Henry walks Helen to the door of her house. They stand in the entryway.
Thank you. Well, thank you for a really wonderful night.
And I'm really sorry that I disappeared for most of it.
Don't worry about it. It wasn't your fault. Besides, it all worked out.
Yeah, it did.
She smiles at the rose in her hand.
Good night.
Good night.
She goes inside. Henry swallows and leaves. Morning. Outside the flower shop, Carol hangs a countdown to Valentine's Day sign. Inside, Beth and Helen arrange flowers.
Hello, ladies!
And you don't know anything about him?
Not really, no.
Nothing. His name, his job, his shoe size.
It was a masquerade ball, Beth. I was trying to embrace the mystery.
Well, what happens now?
What do you mean?
You're gonna find him, right?
To recap, no name, no job, no shoe size. I mean, look, am I disappointed? Yeah, a little. But I don't know. I had my adventure.
Who says it has to end? You said he was wearing the mystery rose on his boutonniere. That means we must have made it.
I know, but I made 100 boutonnieres.
Yeah, but if he paid with a credit card, we could have the slip. And if we have the slip,
we'd have his name.
Yeah.
Helen bites her lip. She and Beth rush to the front desk.
Here's one. Norman Baker.
That's Nancy Baker's husband. She runs the coffee shop down on J Street. Last one. Must have paid cash.
Ah, we missed one. One boutonniere featuring Mystery Rose purchased on February 6th.
The day of the gala.
By one Charles Bradfield.
Charles Bradfield.
Looks like you got yourself a lead. Maybe the Botanical Gardens has a record.
Maybe. I mean,
what are you waiting for? Go track him down.
Now?
Yes, now.
I can't just leave the shop in the middle of the day.
Of course you could, if you were running a delivery. Lucky for you, we have one.
Beth gives her a bouquet.
Here, I'll get your coat.
I don't know.
I'll cover. I'll stick to simple arrangements. Just start with the delivery. And promise you'll think about it.
She shoves Helen to the door.
Great. Bye.
In the Botanical Gardens glass building, Henry works in a room with dozens of plant samples under lamps. He looks up when Helen knocks.
Hey, what are you doing here? Were we supposed to have lunch? I'm sorry, I've been so swamped.
No, Henry, we didn't have plans. No, I'm dropping by completely unannounced.
Oh.
Narrows eyes.
Oh.
I need your help.
At your service, no flower problem. Too big or too small.
It's not about flowers.
Is it about plants?
No. It's about Charles Bradfield.
Who's Charles Bradfield?
That's what we're about to find out.
In a museum gallery filled with paintings with gilded frames, Henry approaches Helen with a sheet of paper.
They didn't want to give me the guest list, but I used my incredible charm. And lied to them and told them the gardens needed it for their records. Here you go.
Okay. Moment of truth.
Okay. Come on.
She scans the list, frowning.
Anything?
I don't see the name.
So, what now? Well,
I have no idea.
Okay.
They walk in a hallway.
This is not over, all right? We can try an online search.
For Charles Bradfield from anywhere, USA? You have any idea how many results we'd get?
It's too bad you didn't get swept off your feet by Alejandro, right? I mean, I haven't heard that name in a while.
I'll try to remember that for next time.
Okay.
She pauses and furrows her brow. Outside is a tall man.
Is that him?
I don't know.
Wait up.
She runs through the crowded hall.
Charles?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Wrong Charles.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. Nice scarf.
Hey, thank you. It's new.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
She reaches the man.
Charles?
No, Peter.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Was it him?
False alarm.
Man, I gotta start jogging again.
In the shop, a gray-haired man leans over and inhales deeply over some blooms. He smiles warmly, gazing around the shop. He crouches and squints at a pink rose with dark petal tips in a case. Carol works behind the counter.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Hello.
What is this? I've never seen anything quite like.
Oh, that is unique to our shop. You won't find another one of these in the world.
Does it have a name?
Well, we've been calling it the Mystery Rose. Are you interested in a bouquet of them?
Well, actually, I'd like to order a corsage.
Oh, well, I can help you with that. We have a catalog of arrangements, or you can choose your own flowers.
I think I'd like to choose my own, thanks.
Very good. I'll take your order.
Okay.
Helen and Henry walk looking at their phones.
None of these Charles Bradfields looks right.
And there's so many of them.
Yeah, we don't even know if that's really the guy's name. I guess that's it.
Well, maybe it's for the best.
How do you figure?
Well, I mean, you don't even know this guy. Could be anyone. Could be a bad tipper.
You know, last month, a man came into the shop looking for 50 orange blossoms.
In January?
Yeah, I know. I tried to sell him on another flower, but he said, nope, has to be orange blossoms. Hmm. He and his girlfriend had their first date at an orchard, and he wanted to surprise her.
I guess a couple of mimosas wouldn't have come.
No. No, I made a dozen calls until I finally found them. And then we shipped them overnight. And the next day, I met him right here, at that tree. I helped him scatter the petals all over the ground. And an hour later, he surprised his girlfriend and proposed right there in that spot.
Ooh, did she say yes?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very sweet story.
He faces her.
I love my job. I love that I get to be a part of these moments. That I help people connect. I guess I just thought that this time would be different. That this time, the fairy tale would be mine.
He tilts his head.
But it's okay. I mean, we tried, right?
But there's gotta be another way.
Oh, I don't think so. I guess it just wasn't meant to be.
She walks on through the snowy park. He follows. In the shop, she trims thorns off of long-stemmed roses. Carol hands her a mug.
Here.
I'm okay.
Take a break for a minute.
Thanks.
She smiles and sits.
So, Beth mentioned that you were on the hunt for a mystery man.
It was nothing.
Tell me about this nothing.
Helen hesitates and shrugs.
I met someone at the gala.
Sure sounds like something.
Yeah, maybe it was, but only for a minute.
What?
I didn't say anything.
You're humming. You're doing the humming thing. What?
What about Henry?
Aunt Carol, how many times do I have to tell you we're just friends?
Well, you say what you want, but I've watched you two for years, thick as thieves. I just don't understand why you're running around chasing after a mystery man when you've got a great guy right next to you.
Weren't you just saying I need to be more adventurous? I mean, wouldn't pursuing a relationship with my best friend be the safest choice possible?
Oh, sweetheart. There's nothing safe about putting your heart on the table. It's about the scariest thing you can do.
Carol nods soberly.
Well, it doesn't even really matter because he doesn't see me that way.
Do you see him that way?
No.
Doesn't sound like you're so sure.
Carol nods again and Helen frowns, looking into the distance. Henry buys coffee from a cart. A tall man behind him with similar hair approaches the cart.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Hey, can I get a coffee black? And I don't have any cash. Take this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Mr. Bradfield.
Excuse me. Sorry. Are you Charles Bradfield?
Yeah, why?
I think you can help me.
Dried flowers hang from the ceiling of Helen's home. She sits at a table frowning at the mystery man's rose in a dish of water, her food untouched. She looks at a photo of her and Henry on the wall and almost smiles. Henry calling.
Hey.
She paces up to him.
Hi.
Hey. Thanks for meeting me here.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad you called. There's something that I wanted to talk to you about.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah, but you go first.
No, you go ahead.
I found him.
Helen's jaw slowly drops. She walks through the gallery, hands clenched at her sides, looking at the faces of the people. A tall man appears.
Now, I thought we agreed to no names.
She smiles.
I had second thoughts.
And I'm so glad you did. And it's nice to finally meet you. Helen.
He kisses her hand. She grins.
So what do you think of it?
It's not my favorite, no. Did you find a place for your painting?
Oh, no. I didn't win it.
But?
Somebody must have snuck in a bid, I guess.
Wow. That really doesn't seem fair.
You know, if I hadn't made a bid and then I walked away without the painting, I think I would have regretted it. But I took a shot. And even though the results were the same, I mean, you know, I'm okay with it.
Really?
No, I really wanted that painting.
I have a confession to make.
Her smile falters.
What is it?
I looked for you.
Her eyes search his.
You did?
When I came back to the dance floor and found that you were gone, I asked around. I tried to see if anybody knew your name, but I didn't have any luck. Apparently, the woman who likes flowers, it really doesn't get you very far in the botanical gardens. I'm really glad your friend found me.
Me too. He's a lawyer at a really prestigious law firm in the city.
Ooh.
But he travels all over for work. I mean, last month, he was in Rome, and before that, Paris?
France?
Well, no, Texas. But before that, he was in Milan. He rides horses, and he's really close with his family. And he speaks 3 languages.
Wow, sounds like Mr. Perfect is, in fact, perfect.
Nobody's perfect, Henry. But he's pretty close. I can't believe you found him.
Well, that was just really lucky.
Well, I owe you. So big. So anything you want, just name it.
Anything?
Anything.
Name your rose and complete your submission.
Actually, I was thinking I might.
Really?
Yeah. I'm starting to see the advantages of taking risks.
At the shop, Helen has filled out the rose form. She types on a laptop, furrowing her brow, surrounded by a sea of roses.
Flower name.
She picks up a mystery rose and examines its petals, pale pink at the center and deep fuchsia at the tips.
The Cupid rose. Heartbeat rose. No.
Anyway, gentlemen, I really do have another meeting I have to get to, but I want to wish you both the best of luck.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to meet us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good luck.
In the coffee shop, Henry and Mr. Carlyle shake the hand of the gray-haired man from the flower shop and sit heavily, frowning.
Do we have any other options?
I'm afraid that was our last real hope of keeping the doors open. Henry, I want you to know I really appreciate all your hard work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to make this transition as easy as I can. If you want to make some phone calls, I'm happy to get you placed somewhere new.
They stand and shake hands.
Whatever you need, you got it. Just let me know.
Thank you.
End of an era.
Yeah.
He pats Henry on the shoulder and leaves. Henry sits down.
Henry?
Oh, hey, Charles.
Thought that was you.
You, here with Helen?
No, I'm here for a business meeting. I do want to thank you, though, for arranging for us to meet up. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I really hope it works out.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
B. Red.
Beth watches Helen.
Rose.
I think the last one has potential.
I'm pretty sure it's already taken.
So I heard you found Charles.
I did.
And?
And it was great. We talked a lot, just like that night. Yeah.
Are you going out again?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't ask.
So? You ask.
Beth raises her brows. Helen frowns exaggeratedly and shakes her head. Beth puts Helen's phone in front of her.
Do it.
Helen purses her lips.
Why not?
Charles.
One sec. Oh, speaking of which.
There you go.
Hi, Helen.
Hey, I was just calling to see if you have plans tonight.
I don't.
Would you like to go to dinner with me?
Dinner sounds great. Should we meet at around 6? Say at the Baroncrest restaurant?
No. Yellow Star Bistro.
Or how about the Yellow Star Bistro?
Oh, I've actually been dying to try their strawberry shortcake.
And then maybe after we could
take a by the pier, the boats.
Go by the pier and look at the boats.
That would be perfect. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just go home the long way to pass by the marina. The boats are so beautiful, all lit up at night.
Ah, that's great. Then it's a date. I'll see you then.
Okay, bye.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
I think I really impressed her. Just in time for Valentine's, too. You're like our own personal Cupid, man.
Thank you. All right.
Charles leaves. Later, Henry passes by the bistro and sees Helen sitting alone at a table. A waiter refills her water.
Thank you.
Henry enters the restaurant.
Hey.
Hi. What are you doing here?
I saw you through the window, so I thought I'd come say hello. Hello.
Hello. I'm meeting Charles for dinner.
Huh.
He called to say he was running kind of late.
Would you like a little company until he gets here?
Thanks, Henry.
Yeah.
He sits.
Oh my gosh, the waiter has refilled my water like 3 times. I'm sure he thinks I've been stood up.
Oh, I doubt that.
She smiles.
Oh, I know we were talking about coming here together.
Oh, it's fine. Just make sure you tell me how the strawberry shortcake is.
Of course.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it when Charles suggested this place that I've been dying to try. It's like it was meant to be. And to think, I almost didn't go looking for him after the gala. This taking chances thing is really paying off.
Crystal Quarry.
What?
You remember. Spring break of our senior year, you watched all our friends jump off the edge into the water, but you wouldn't do it. You refused to try. You just walk up to the edge and you turn away every single time.
It was high.
Yeah, but by the end of the day, before we left, you did it. You jumped.
The only reason I jumped is because you were holding my hand.
Do you remember what you said afterwards?
That it felt like flying.
And?
And that I wished I'd done it sooner.
Charles.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
Oh, don't worry.
Henry, hi.
Henry saw me through the window and came in to say hello.
Well, that was nice of him.
Oh, I saved your seat.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you two enjoy.
Thanks, Henry.
Okay, anytime.
Henry leaves and Charles takes his place. Daytime in the snow-covered city. Helen closes her laptop and smiles. Henry comes into the workroom.
Hey.
Hey.
Coffee?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You're just in time.
Oh, yeah?
Flower named, application sent.
What? Jeez. So what are you going to do when you win?
Getting a little ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, you're right. But can I be your plus one at the award ceremony, please?
Henry!
What? I just... Seriously.
I'm proud of you for putting yourself out there like that.
I'm pretty proud of me, too.
So what name did you choose?
Okay, so this is all about me taking a leap, right?
Right, yeah.
So I named it the Crystal Valentine Rose.
I like it.
Me too. What are you doing tonight?
I was just planning on finishing some work. Why?
Do you want to come to my place for dinner?
Sure.
Great. Charles is coming over. I wanted him to meet Aunt Carol. I think it'd be fun for us all to get together.
Yeah. So, things are going well.
This past week has been amazing. You know, I might actually have a real Valentine's this year.
Wow, that's, I'm really happy for you, Helen.
So you'll come?
I wouldn't miss it.
She beams and turns back to her work. Henry's smile fades. Later, he slides a book across a cafe table to Charles.
Poems by Emily Dickinson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she loves to quote her poems on the board outside the flower shop, so.
Are you sure she wouldn't just like a bracelet or something?
No. No, she's gonna love this. Trust me, it's a first edition, too, so, yeah.
That's great. I didn't expect you to actually buy something. I thought you would have just told me what to get, but this is amazing.
No, I mean, I noticed in the window of the bookstore a couple times walking by, it was no big deal.
Are you sure you wouldn't just rather give it to yourself?
No. This is gonna mean a lot more coming from you. Trust me.
Wow. That's great. Well, thank you. That's very generous of you.
Got it. I'll see you.
Henry leaves. Helen sets the table in her house.
Come on in.
Carol and Beth.
Hello.
Hey.
I brought my best casserole.
Thank you.
Beth, I'm so glad you could make it.
Like I was going to pass up a chance to finally meet Prince Charming. Can I help in the kitchen?
Yes, please.
They eat with Charles and Henry.
So, she walks straight up to me. She's got me pinned in the corner. She's talking like a mile a minute. She's under the mistaken impression that I am Henry.
Okay, in my defense, he was wearing a mask.
You never told me that.
Well, it was embarrassing.
I think it's just about the most romantic thing I've ever heard. Like something out of a fairy tale.
Well, she made an impression, that's for sure.
So, Charles, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I don't really have much free time these days. Work keeps me extremely busy, and I have a very demanding clientele.
Oh, I know what you mean. Other than Valentine's Day, the only other day that puts fear in the heart of any florist is...
Mother's Day.
No, we have to do this all again in a few months. I barely survived this time.
Oh, you'll be a pro by that time, Beth.
Yeah, battle-tested.
I'm not sure it's quite the same thing.
Helen's smile falters.
Oh, I suppose not.
Well, Carol and Helen are at the flower market every morning by 5, and there's long days at the shop, right? Not to mention the days you're in the greenhouse. I mean, hours on end.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply that you're not busy.
I know.
Well, when I do manage to sneak away, I enjoy myself some poker.
Oh, my late husband loved poker. He used to have a weekly game. Do you remember, Helen?
I do.
Just another thing I was excited to discover that we had in common.
Helen, you didn't tell me you started to play poker.
Oh, I didn't mention it.
You know, her uncle tried to get her to play for the longest time, but she was never interested.
No, I've come around. It's an acquired taste.
Because, I mean, I tried to teach you last year, but you pretty much just got up and walked away.
Helen winces.
I'm more of a gin rummy girl myself.
Oh.
Beth's eyes turn down to the table.
More wine, anyone?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
She fills their glasses. Henry and Helen cut cake in the kitchen.
I think it's going well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's certainly won over Beth. You hate carrot cake.
I don't hate carrot cake.
Yes, you do.
You know, maybe I just haven't taken the time to appreciate it. I'm trying to expand my horizons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then, here. Have a bite.
I'm the hostess. It would be rude for me to eat before the guests.
I want to talk to you about something.
Oh, no.
What?
I know that tone.
There's no tone.
Yes, there is. This is bad news.
No, it's not. It's not bad. It's different.
Different is always bad.
That's not true. Different can be exciting.
Okay, I'm ready. Just do it. Quickly, like ripping off a band-aid.
I'm just not exactly sure how to say this. The thing is, Helen.
Helen! Charles is just the best.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
He's so charming.
Really handsome.
Isn't he handsome, Henry?
Yes, he's very handsome. I can see why you mistook him for me.
You're funny. He's funny. Let me help you guys with this.
Okay.
Thank you. Is this carrot cake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah? Helen's too.
Helen glares at him. They take cake to the dining room. Later, Helen walks Charles out.
That was fun.
Really? You're not just saying that?
No, your friends and family are great. Hey, almost forgot. Oh, I got you something.
Oh, you didn't have to.
No, I know. I wanted to. Come on, open it. I would have brought you flowers, but I was afraid I would get the wrong colors and say all the wrong things.
She opens the book and stares at it.
Poems by Emily Dickinson.
She smiles.
Yeah, I was in a bookstore the other day, and I saw it, and I thought of you.
Really?
It's the first edition.
This is perfect. I love it. Thank you.
He kisses her on the cheek.
Good night, Helen.
She watches him leave, smiling and lifting her shoulders. Henry and Helen dry dishes.
I mean, Emily Dickinson.
I know, that is the perfect gift for you.
Aunt Carol loved him.
Well, I mean, he did compliment her casserole like three separate times.
What about you?
I told her it was fantastic, but I didn't belabor the point.
No. What do you think about him?
It doesn't matter what I think, it matters what you think.
It's important to me that you like him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because. You're my best friend.
He half smiles.
Well, I think he seems like a good guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. And if anyone deserves a happy ending, Helen, it's you.
Thanks, Henry. Oh, what were you going to tell me earlier?
Oh, we can talk about it later.
She furrows her brow. In the shop, Carol helps a woman.
Now, are these the ones that you'd like? Well, I have lots in the back. Let's go get some, okay? Right through here.
Henry enters and sets a cup of coffee on the counter with a heart and arrow drawn on its side before leaving immediately. Beth hangs a Valentine's countdown sign outside the shop.
Hey, nice job on the board.
Thanks. Hey, it was really fun talking with you last night.
Yeah, you too.
We should do it again sometime. All of us.
Definitely.
Don't be a stranger.
Okay.
She waves and watches him go before turning and going inside. In the workroom, Helena arranges roses and baby's breath. Beth comes in with more roses.
Someone's in a good mood.
Remember how last night we were all talking about how busy the shop gets during the Valentine's rush? Well, this morning, this was waiting for me on the counter.
Good luck. Hope this helps.
Isn't that so thoughtful of Charles?
Charles gave you that?
Yeah. Who else would it be?
Oh, I just thought. Never mind. So, what's Henry's story?
What do you mean?
Is he seeing anyone, or?
No. Why, are you interested in Henry?
I don't know. I feel like we hit it off.
When you and Charles were outside, we got to talking, and did you know he has his pilot's license?
I did.
He's really smart. And funny and cute, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Oh, they're waiting for these.
Beth carries roses out to the front. Helen frowns to herself and keeps working.
Thank you. Enjoy your bouquet. Bye-bye.
Henry enters.
Hey, girl.
Hi, Henry.
Is Helen in the back?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's out with Charles right now.
Oh. I thought we had plans for lunch, but I guess I got the day wrong.
Aw, well, I can tell her you stopped by.
That's okay. I'll just try and catch up with her later.
Okay.
He turns to leave. Helen watches him go and smiles sadly to herself. Henry sits in a cafe reading a book. Beth stands at the counter. She turns around with her coffee and spots him.
Henry?
Oh, hey, Beth. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Things were so crazy at the flower shop, I needed to pick me up to make it through the rest of the day.
I bet you did.
Can I join you?
Yeah, sure. Please.
Great.
She sits.
What you reading?
Oh, it's just something I picked up at the bookstore across the street. I was supposed to have lunch with Helen, but things changed, so.
You two have been friends for a long time, huh?
Since college. And then we reconnected when I moved back to New York, yeah.
She told me about that. It's a great story.
Right? Although I'm not sure it can top mistaken identities at a masquerade ball.
Mistaken bouquets.
I like that. Yeah, I guess so.
Charles and Helen walk together outside. Helen sees Henry and Beth talking through the cafe window.
You know, I'm actually not that hungry.
You sure?
Yeah. You want to go for a walk?
Sure. Lead the way.
I don't know if I believe in fate, but that moment, that was close. Because I just moved back to the city for a fresh start. It was a bit of a tricky time. I had just finished a divorce, and things were very chaotic. And as soon as I signed on with the Botanical Gardens, I immediately regretted it. And I remember sitting in my office and wondering if uprooting my entire life was just this colossal mistake. And then in walks Helen with this silly bouquet. And I just knew that, I don't know, right then and right there that I'd made the right choice.
He rests his mouth on his fist. Beth's eyes widen.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I can't believe I didn't notice.
Notice what?
You're in love with Helen.
I'm not.
He shakes his head and looks down. Beth smiles sympathetically.
For how long?
He looks at her, breathing heavily. The corners of his mouth twitch.
Not since the flower mix-up.
Her jaw drops.
Well.
And you never said anything?
The timing just was never quite right. When we reconnected, she was in a relationship, and by the time they broke up, I had a girlfriend, and just we were never just quite in sync.
But you're both single now. You finally had your window. Why tell her about Charles?
Because it made her happy.
Beth leans back and eyes Henry.
You're a good guy, Henry. Here, have a cookie. You need it more than I do.
He smiles. Helen and Charles walk in a park.
It was right here. I spent an hour with this guy pulling off orange petals from the flowers.
I gotta take this.
Oh.
Hey. No, just stall him. Like, I'll be there in 20, all right? Hold tight. It's work. I gotta go.
That's okay. I understand.
I am so close to closing the sale, and once I do, I'll have a lot more free time. But until then, there's just too much on the line right now.
Sounds big.
It is. I'm brokering a deal to buy the Botanical Gardens.
She stops in her tracks.
Buy them?
Yeah, it's a great location. My client is going to put up these beautiful luxury condos.
Wait. You're going to replace the botanical gardens with condos?
You didn't know.
How could I know?
Well, the botanical gardens, they're in a lot of debt. It's become unmanageable and they're looking to sell. I thought for sure Henry would have told you.
She glances sideways. Later, she marches into Henry's office.
Hey.
Hey.
When were you going to tell me?
Tell you what?
That they're selling the botanical gardens.
Oh, you found out.
Yeah, I found out. Charles is negotiating the deal. They're closing this week, and they're going to turn it into cheap real estate.
Hey, Helen, the gardens have been in financial trouble for months now. I have tried everything. That's why I left you the night of the gala, to go off and try and impress a potential investor, Andrew Gray, with so much money and a diverse portfolio. We were so sure that he was going to be the guy to save this place, to bail us out, but he didn't go for it.
Henry, what are you going to do? What about your job?
Well, since I saw it coming, I had time to line up another job. I accepted a research position at a national park, and it's a big deal. I get to head up a whole team.
He looks down.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
It's in Arizona.
He meets her gaze.
Arizona?
They want me there on the 14th.
That's next Wednesday.
I know.
When were you going to tell me?
I tried.
You tried? Couldn't have tried that hard.
You've been busy.
Not too busy for this, Henry.
There just was never a good time to tell you.
He stares at her pleadingly. She scowls with pouting lips, turns around and stomps out. Henry turns back to his desk with a wrinkled brow. He looks out at the garden. He walks out into the plant-filled space and finds Helen sitting on a bench with tear-reddened eyes.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner.
I'm still mad at you.
I know.
You can't make up for this with a cup of coffee, Henry.
I know, that's why I brought you hot chocolate.
He hands her a mug.
You're not fighting fair.
She smiles begrudgingly.
It's funny, I finally found someone. And now I'm losing the most important person to me.
You're never gonna lose me.
Why does it feel like I already have?
He puts his arm around her shoulder. They are reflected in a pool in the ground of the garden. Beth hangs a sign, 3 days until Valentine's Day.
You left the keys right in the door. All of your shoe steps on the floor.
Helen prepares a bouquet, frowning. Henry packs his office.
I took a chance and called your name, knowing you wouldn't hear a thing.
2 days until Valentine's Day. Helen, Beth, and Carol work in the bustling shop.
But will you remember when?
Henry picks up a framed photo of him and Helen smiling. He puts it in a box.
But hesitating now would be wrong. So just go.
Nighttime in the closed shop. Helen carries a bouquet to a cooler. Henry knocks on the door. She opens the door.
Right now. So just go.
Thought I might find you here.
Yeah, kind of predictable like that.
Well, I know you have the wedding tomorrow, so I just came to say goodbye.
She presses her lips together and forces a smile.
I can't believe you're actually leaving.
And this week went by so much faster than I thought. You know, I wanted to come by more. I'm sorry I didn't.
Oh, I totally get it. You had your whole life to pack up.
Yeah.
They meet each other's gaze. She shifts uncomfortably.
What time's your flight?
4.
She nods and swallows hard.
I'm really gonna miss you.
Her lips tremble.
Me too.
They hug.
Happy Valentine's.
She closes her eyes and holds him tightly until they part.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you're a little askew.
She straightens his scarf.
Bye.
He walks out. She watches him through the shop window with tears in her eyes. Beth hangs a Happy Valentine's Day sign. Inside, Carol and Helen thrust eucalyptus and gladiolas into arrangements.
Saying goodbye to Henry was harder than I thought. I mean, I knew it was going to be hard.
Well, he is your best friend. Of course you're going to be sad.
Yeah. Like, more than that.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. It's like, I guess I just like a sign. You know, that I made the right choice.
Hey, Helen. Courier just dropped this off for you.
What?
Gift?
Helen. What did you get?
She opens the box. Inside is the painting of the mother and daughter in the field. The card reads, Happy Valentine's Day. She nods and smiles.
A sign.
Henry pours milk into his coffee at the cart. Charles is behind him again.
Henry!
Hi.
Heard you're heading out west.
Yeah. Today.
Wow.
So, big plans for Valentine's Day tonight?
Yeah, no. Helen's working a wedding. I'm gonna help her out. Maybe grab a bite to eat after. I'm not really sure she'll be up for anything.
I think she will be.
Yeah, she says she gets pretty exhausted after these big events.
Well, I mean, Valentine's Day means a lot to her. I'd really try to make it special. Something to let her know that you feel really lucky that she's in your life, you know?
Charles nods.
I should really thank you, Henry. You know, if it wasn't for you finding me, I would have just been the man behind the mask.
Henry nods.
My pleasure.
Okay. Have a safe flight. Don't be a stranger.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
They shake hands. Charles leaves. Henry frowns. A crew in white shirts set up a pink and white wedding. Helen places flowers.
Is, Carol helping you today?
Not at the moment, Mr. Gregson. She is at the shop. You know, you should stop by sometime. She'd love to see you.
Maybe I will.
Charles carries flowers in.
Careful.
You okay?
Yeah, Beth handed me these and told me to walk straight until I found you.
You can put that right here.
Okay. How is that?
Great. Just,
She moves the bouquet.
Yeah, I guess I don't have your touch.
Thank you.
I told you, I'm just happy to be able to spend Valentine's with you.
No, not for this. Well, not just for this. For my gift.
Gift?
The painting. How did you track down the winner?
Helen, you're losing me here. What painting?
Helen.
Bride.
Oh, these look wonderful. I think I'm going to cry.
You've got your makeup on.
It's fine. It's waterproof mascara.
In that case.
Helen shows her bouquet of roses.
Do you love it?
They're amazing. Now I can officially go get dressed.
Mr.
Andrew Gray?
That's my grandfather. Did he by any chance attend the masquerade gala?
He did. I tried to get him to give me his tickets as an early wedding gift, but apparently he had some business to attend to.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's over by the guest book.
Thank you.
Helen approaches the gray-haired man.
Excuse me, Mr. Gray?
Yes?
Hi, I'm Helen. I'm the florist for the wedding.
Oh, well, you did a splendid job here. Oh, I was in your shop recently. Great little place.
Thank you. I was told that you recently toured the botanical gardens, that you were considering investing.
I was considering it. What's this about exactly?
I wondered if you might reconsider.
Mr. Gray, would you excuse us just one second?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yep. Charles ushers her away.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to save the botanical gardens.
I am so extremely close to closing this deal, and you're going to introduce a new buyer?
I can't just stand by and watch as something I love is turned into a parking lot.
Condos.
It means a lot to me, Charles. And if I think I can save it, I have to try.
She pushes past him. He takes out his phone.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I appreciate your passion. And I really do. But I'm afraid the gardens, it didn't seem like a worthwhile investment.
You said that you visited my shop recently. Were you ordering that corsage for your wife?
Yeah, that's right.
That's not one of our standard arrangements, which means you selected those flowers yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I ask why you picked the ones you did?
Well, I picked the orchid because, it reminded me of Greece. It's where I first met my wife. And the carnation. And that was the same color as the dress she was wearing the first time I looked into her eyes.
What about the red and white swirled rose?
Well, I chose that because for as long as I have known her, my wife's always been a little bit of a mystery to me.
You chose those flowers because they spoke to you. They transported you somewhere.
Yeah, they did.
That's what the Botanical Gardens does for others. It finds beauty from all over the world, and it brings it here for people to enjoy and share with the ones they love. I know that investing in the gardens might seem like a bit of a risk, but I think that most important things in life involve some risk. And if it means we can hold on to something precious, isn't that a leap worth taking?
A smile crosses his face and he nods. Charles and Helen talk in a lobby.
How'd it go?
Well, I made my case. He promised to consider.
You know I have to call my client and fight for the deal, right?
I do.
And if I win, what happens to us?
You won't. I'll call Mr. Gray every day if I have to. In the past week, I found that I have a lot more fight in me than I realized. I can't let those gardens disappear. Look, Charles.
You don't have to say it. It's not going to work out, is it?
He smiles slightly. She frowns at him.
I'm sorry.
Don't be.
You know, that night at the gala, I'd never had that before. It was really special to me. You were this wonderful dream.
That is the problem with dreams. Eventually you gotta wake up.
I guess so.
Take care.
He kisses her on the cheek.
I have to go make about a dozen calls that all involve a lot of yelling in my ear.
She smiles with a wrinkled brow. He smirks and leaves. Her eyes shift to the side and she bites her lip. She marches back into the wedding venue with her phone to her ear. Henry in the airport.
Now boarding flight 214 to Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello?
It was you, wasn't it?
who got me the painting?
Helen?
Wasn't it?
Well, you were so upset you lost it.
How did you track it down?
I still have the guest list. Look, Helen, I'm literally about to get on the plane.
Stay.
What? I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
I want you to stay.
I don't understand.
For the past 2 weeks, I've been taking all these risks. For the one thing I wasn't brave enough to say is how I really feel about you.
What about Charles?
That wasn't meant to be. Final boarding call for flight 212, Phoenix, Arizona.
I gotta go, Helen.
Henry.
This is a lot to take in right now. Okay, I will call you as soon as I land.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. Have a safe flight.
Thanks. Bye, Helen.
She hangs up, tears falling down her cheeks. She closes her eyes tightly and wipes her face with her hand. Later, she storms into the shop.
Done taking risks.
What happened?
I took chance after chance. I chased a masked man. Turned out to be more frog than prince. And then I confessed my feelings to my best friend, who promptly got on a plane and flew across the country. Every chance I've taken has backfired spectacularly.
Well, risk alone doesn't guarantee success. Otherwise, it would have a different name.
She throws up her hand.
I know you gave me this locket so I'd be more like her. I feel like I've let you both down.
Oh, Helen, I didn't give you that locket to change you. I gave you that locket because you're so much like her already.
Hardly.
Do you know where she got that locket?
Spain? Portugal? France?
It was a gift.
From who?
From me.
Carol shrugs with arms crossed. Helen touches the locket around her neck.
You gave her this?
Uh-huh. It was the day before she left for Paris to study. And she had packed everything she owned. And she was going to leave behind everything that she knew. And she was so nervous. She was more nervous than I have ever seen her. And eventually she confessed to me that she was having second thoughts.
But she was so fearless.
Yes. But she needed a reminder. And so did you.
I had no idea.
Actually, your mother never claimed to be fearless. She used to say she had pluck. I see that in you.
Carol smiles warmly. Helen wells up.
Have I ever thanked you for everything you've done for me?
Oh, Helen, watching you grow up has been the greatest single pleasure of my life.
Carol leans on the counter.
You are meant for great things. Now you just have to believe it.
Carol, you have a phone call.
Carol leaves Helen blinking back tears. Helen stands and picks up the painting. She gazes at it and chews her lip. She sets it up against the wall and steps back. Carol comes back and hands her a piece of paper.
Well, we have one last order for tonight.
The botanical gardens.
Mm-hmm. Last minute Valentine's bouquet. Are you up for it or?
No, I'm fine. Promise.
Okay. I'll tell you what, you do the arrangement, I'll do the card. Deal?
Deal.
Helen rubs her hands together and starts picking roses. Her hand hesitates over the crystal Valentine's roses. She picks one and holds it, turning it in front of her face. Wearing her coat, she carries the bouquet to the front of the shop. Carol hands her the card.
Okay. Be right back.
No rush.
Oh,
I ran into Mr. Gregson at the wedding today. I told him to stop by and say hello.
Mr. Gregson enters.
Helen.
Hi.
Carol straightens her jacket and hair.
Carol, happy Valentine's Day.
She smiles. He sets a gift on the counter.
Hello? Is anyone here?
Helen enters the garden under twinkling lights. She looks around, holding the bouquet.
Hello?
She wanders deeper among the plants, then stops, seeing a tall man in a suit.
Henry?
Henry turns and grins.
What are you doing here?
I couldn't leave.
Are these for you?
Actually, they're for you. Here, read the card.
She opens the card and reads.
Say yes.
Your aunt was kind enough to fill it out for me.
She stares at him.
Helen, you are my best friend. And somewhere along the way, you became even more.
She licks her lips.
I mean, for a long time, you were the one that got away, but then suddenly you came barreling back into my life with the wrong flowers.
Her eyes search his.
I loved you then. And I love you now. And,
He sinks to one knee and opens a box containing a ring.
Will you marry me? I mean, this might sound crazy, but you inspired me to take a leap myself, so take it with me.
You promise to hold my hand?
Always.
Yes.
They beam. He slips the ring on her finger and rises, holding her hand.
I love you too.
They kiss passionately. He dips her back. They stand upright and lean their foreheads on one another.
You know, you still owe me a dance.
I do.
They put their arms around each other and dance among the plants.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Helen's crystal Valentine rose sits in a case with a blue ribbon attached to it.